Well, good morning. We want to start this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, and read verse 43 down through verse number 48, and think on this subject, love your enemies. This is what the passage is all about. Christ is preaching here on the Sermon on the Mount, and He has given to the Jews many different things that He wants them to do. And, of course, this message is not only to the Jews, but it's also to us as well. The book of Matthew 5 and verse number 43, the Bible says, "Ye have heard that it was said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? For or do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer and ask God to watch over us, help us today, that we might always do what God wants us to do. Our Father, I pray, Lord, that You might bless our church. Lord, I pray that You might bless me, Lord, as I bring Your word today. Lord, that You might be glorified and honored in all things. And Lord, whatever we do, that Your name would be praised. I pray, Lord, that this might be the focus of our whole life, is that we might do always what You want us to do, whether it's work or play or whatever it is. Lord, I trust, Lord, that You might just forgive us for our many sins. Lord, I pray that You might bless those who are lost. Lord, You know their hearts. Lord, I pray that You might bring them to You in saving faith. Just keep us now. Help us to preach since Your word, Your way. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. In this passage, Matthew 5, verse number 43, Jesus Christ says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." This is what the Jews taught. What Christ wants us to do is not what the Jews taught. The Jews, of course, were taking what they believed from the Bible, but they only used part of the Bible. They didn't use it all. They used scriptures like Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 through verse number 6, which states about the Ammonites and the Moabites, just turn your back on them regardless of what happens to them. They're using other passages, like in Ezra 9, verse number 12, where God again was saying to the Israelites, you need to do what's right in my sight, and don't follow your enemies at all. Think about it, that I have found in my life, that it is a lot easier. It's a lot easier on me personally to hate somebody. It's a lot easier to hold grudges against somebody than it is to do anything else. It's a lot easier for me. Now, maybe it's not for you, but it is for me. I found that the Jews, though, were wrong. Christ is right. What Christ did for us is that He died for our sins. He died for sinners, right? Jesus Christ paid the price of our eternal hell on the cross of Calvary. What Christ has done, He wants us to also do. He wants us to believe to be what He wants us to be, and not what we want to be. Christ loved us when we did not love Him. this is by the grace of Almighty God that any person is ever saved. A grace means unmerited favor. It is what God has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Christ wants us to understand a very important point, that our wrath is temporary, but God's wrath is permanent. That's what he wants us to understand. Christ wants us to understand that our wrath is temporary, not permanent like his is. The things of this world are temporary, not permanent. Christ is permanent. The things of this world will pass away. We must understand that we will spend eternity with the Lord in perfect bliss. But we need to do always what God wants us to do. Always do that. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 44. In verse 43, he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what the law says, what the Jews said the law said. In verse 44, but I say unto you, Jesus Christ is saying to this people, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless them that curse you. I want you to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Have you ever really tried to do that? Have you ever really tried to do that? There's been times in my ministry, in my life, that people have wronged me. Individually, they've done that. They've tried to hurt me. They've tried to run me off from churches and all that kind of thing. One of the best things we can ever do to anybody when they try to persecute us, when they try to injure us, is to forgive them. That's a lot easier said than done. Now, I know that it is. It is much easier to say that I love my enemies when I want to strangle the life out of them. But Jesus Christ said, I want you, if you're going to really be a follower of me, Jesus Christ said, what I want you to do, I want you to love your enemies. You might answer, I don't think I want to. Well, or you might answer this way, I am not going to let them off as easy as that. I will never forgive them because of all the harm they did to me and to my family. I'm going to hold it against them. I'm going to be angry at them. But listen, when you do not forgive people, when they offend you, you're actually stopping God from doing anything to them. It is wrong to not forgive people. It is wrong. It is not what God wants us to do at all. God tells us here in verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. This is what Jesus Christ said. Love your enemies. By the way, the word love here is a self-sacrificing, giving kind of love. It's the kind of love that Christ died for us. He died for our sins. When we were still sinners, Jesus Christ knew us. He forgave us. He loved us even when we were sinners. We ought to realize that. This is a very practical lesson that we ought to always understand. God wants us to let go of all of our griefs, all of our troubles, and all of our problems. God wants us to forget those things and never have them on our mind at all. God wants us to know this, that He can take better care of us than we can take care of us. I know that's not what we want to think. But God wants us to let Him take care of all of these things for us. As long as we hang on to our problems, as long as we hang on to all of our difficulties, all of our troubles, and all of our griefs, God will let us hang on to those things. Understand. As long as we hang on to all of our problems, all of our troubles, all of our griefs, God will let us hang on to those. He will let us hang on. You know what it means to hang on to something? It means you're hanging on for dear life. You will not let it go. God says, let it go. I can take care of it for you. Some people believe that we can take better control of our problems than God can. That's really what we're saying. God, you don't know what these people have done to me. Listen, God knows everything they've ever done. Even the things they've done to you. Even the things that are against you. God knows that. God knows you too. God also knows exactly what you need. God knows what I need as well. God wants us to understand that regardless of what happens, He is in charge. God wants us to know that He is our master. We are His servant. God wants us to understand that. He can take care of us. God can do a much, much better job than we can. I'm thinking of an army that attempted to invade the nation of Israel. There were two things the nation of Israel could do. They could either defend themselves, or they could turn this whole situation over to God in prayer and let God take care of it. What do you think they ought to do? I know the answer, and you know the answer too. But see, what I'm thinking about is a long time ago in history, and you read in the Bible about that. But modern day problems and situations and things that we face today, they're different, right? Sometimes we think they are, but they're exactly the same. They're exactly the same. If you read in the Bible, you'll find that God never turned a deaf ear to the people that needed God to hear them in their prayer. It doesn't make a difference who they are or what they've done. God will always turn an ear. He will always listen to people when they humbly ask Him to take care of whatever difficulty they're facing. God will do the same thing for us, just like He did for the nation of Israel. God loves His people. Whether they are the nation of Israel or whether they're us. God chastened the nation of Israel. God chastens us as well. Because He loves us. God wants us to always bring our troubles and problems and trials to Him. And He can take care of it. And this is what the message is. In Matthew 5, verse 44, when He says, love your enemies, this is what he's talking about. That God can take care of us in spite of whatever happens to us. Now, there might be some answers like this. Some naive people will say, I don't have any enemies. Oh, yes, you do. The enemies you have, they might not be outspoken at the moment, but everybody has enemies. It doesn't take very long to make an enemy, regardless of how good anybody is. Jesus Christ had enemies, right? And he was perfect. Totally, absolutely perfect. Never sinned at all. He had it all. He was all right. In other words, if you're too good, people won't like you for that either. They will say you're a hypocrite. Because nobody is as good as you appear to be. That's what they're going to say. This is exactly what they said about Christ. And this is exactly why they crucified him. They nailed him. They nailed him to a cross. Because they didn't understand he was their eternal Savior. But the nation of Israel, when they see him come back, they're going to know that he is the one. They're going to know that he is perfect. You know, we need a perfect God. We need a perfect life. That's why that Jesus Christ emphatically states here in Matthew 5, verse number 44, "But I say unto you," he gives us these four things here to do. He says, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Christ is not talking about vengeance. That's not the message of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ is talking here about forgiveness and seeing things from the other person's viewpoint. The message Christ is giving is how we can live a Christian life regardless of what anybody else does. You see, we are responsible to Christ and Christ alone, not everybody else. We're not even responsible to do what we want to do. We always do what God wants us to do. And that's our responsibility. We are His servants. He is our master. We need to always listen to Him and never have animosity in our hearts toward anybody. Listen, when Christ preached, He preached the truth always, right? He never said anything to embellish what He was saying. He always talked the truth. He always spoke the truth. Did he always just speak to people that agreed with him? No. Christ spoke to anybody. He always preached the truth. Christ did not have any animosity in his heart toward anybody, even those people that crucified him and hung him on the cross. Even Pilate, even Herod. Do you think that Christ had animosity in his heart toward Pilate? Do you think that Christ had animosity in his heart toward Herod? Do you think that Christ had animosity in his heart toward the Jews that delivered him up to be crucified? I don't think so. I don't. That's what he's talking about here. In Matthew 5 and verse number 39, read this. And we didn't read it as a text because it's not a part of the text, but read what the Bible says here. He said in verse 38, Matthew 5, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you," so Christ saying things, the same thing again, "that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the left. The other also. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." You see, Jesus Christ, in these verses, he is saying exactly the same thing. He wants us to understand that what he is saying is absolutely the truth, that it is better for us as humans. We all have sin. Everybody has sin. We might say we don't. You lie to yourself. But we all have sin. None of us are exempt from sin. All of us have it. Which is so bad, really, the sin that we have is so bad that all of us will finally wind up in hell apart from the miracles and the mercies of Christ. I mean, that's it. I would go to hell if it wasn't for Christ. That's what I'm saying. You would too. If we do not ask Christ to forgive us, we will wind up in hell. This is the lesson that Christ is really teaching. We are the ones, believe it or not, we are the ones that have offended Christ with sin. And Christ is using the example of others offending us to teach us that we should be like Him and forgive our enemies. Just as Christ forgives us because we are, without the grace of God, without the forgiveness of Christ, an enemy of Christ. But He has forgiven us. He has changed us. And this is what He's saying to us. Christ is the one who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He didn't die because He was a sinner. Christ is the perfect one. He is the Son of the living God. He never sinned at all. He didn't die because of His sins. Jesus Christ died because of our sins. Understand what He's saying here. Christ forgives us of our sins, not because we are good people, not because we deserve to be forgiven. Rather, He forgives us because He loves us even when we continually sin against Him and His good commandments, and His desires for us. All right? That's why He says this. That's why He says in verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Christ is saying a very plain and a very elegant manner that we that have been saved by the grace of God ought to love those that do not love us, just as Christ loved us when we didn't love Him either. He made the difference in our life. This is what He's saying. Now, how many of us want to be a Christian? Or how many of us claim to be a Christian? A Christian is someone who's Christ-like. Right? Christ-like. Well, do you love your enemies as Christ loved them? Do you love your enemies as Christ loved you when you were His enemy? Wow. If you do not love your enemies, you're not being like Christ. In Matthew 5 and verse number 44, the Bible says, love your enemies. When you just think about that. In verse number 44, the Bible tells us all of the things we must do if we're going to be like Christ. We must bless them that curse us. That's what the Bible says. After it says, love our enemies. We must bless them that curse us. Do good to them that hate us. And pray for them which despitefully use us. Now, you see the word in verse 44, the word bless. In verse 44, the word bless there means to praise. It means to pray to God would richly bless and keep them safe. It means to ask God to bless them and use them for His benefit. Boy, this is a real problem. Sometimes I have animosity in my heart toward people that don't think like I think. I'm thinking on the political spectrum as well. This is worldwide. There are some people that I love to listen to on the news. Some people I don't want to listen to on the news. God says that it's better for us to pray for them, to bless them, that whatever happens to them would be good. The Bible says in verse number 44, we need to do good to them that hate you. We need to pray for them which despitefully use you. This is a pretty good order. It's a pretty tall order. But God wants us to do this. This is what Christ wants us to do. Did Christ really live as He wants us to live? Did He really do that? Well, I mean, what he said, He did. That's the truth. Think of this. One time, there were 10 lepers that came to Christ, wanted to be healed. How many of them did Christ heal? Well, He told them what to do. He said, what I want you to do, I want you to go and present yourself before the priest. Right? So they were going away. As they went away, they were healed. 9 of those men kept on going. But one of them turned around and came back. Was this man then not supposed to go to the priest? You know, the 9 went together. But this one, after he came back and thanked Christ, then he also had to go and do what God told him to do. When I think of that, I think of how the Jews would accept this man. There's no record of what they ever did. No record at all. But Christ wants us to willingly bless those that curse us. And He wants us to be right before God always. We ought to always do what God wants us to do and never do what we want to do, in short. We owe all the blessings that God gives to us to Him. We are the guilty ones. We're the ones that are the sinners. Just like everybody else is a sinner. We actually deserve eternal destruction in the lake of fire. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where we'd go. But Christ has willingly and very ably forgiven us of all of our sins. He's taken care of it all for us. Do we deserve His forgiveness? Well, no. But do we have it? Yes. Not because we are good, because God is good to us. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. He has given to us eternal life. And He wants us to be like Him, not like us. And how did we get eternal life? How do we get it? Think about it. How did we get eternal life? It's a gift that God has given to us. He has given to us freely of His grace, His unmerited favor. He's given us His love. He's given us His mercy. Therefore, Christ wants us to take this gift of salvation that we have and use it to show others how good He is, not how good we are. If we go into it with the idea that we show others how good we are, we're messing up big time because we're no good at all. We need to always dedicate ourselves unto the Lord and do what He wants us to do because we have nothing good at all. God is the only one that's any good at all. So whatever it is, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them which hate you. I'm thinking of the words here. Bless them that curse you. You know, praise those people that curse you. If somebody is cursing you and they're right, should you not praise them? Should you not say, "You're right"? Well, that'll knock their props out from under them. It will. But it's not. We're doing that not to knock their props out from under them, but to show them that we are a sinner. That's what it's all about. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And all these four things are mentioned here as a point. In verse number 45, he says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, these four things do not cause us to be the children of the Father, but because we are the children of the Father, we'll do those things. That's what he's saying here. If any person wants to be the child of God, you must do what God does. And what does God do to those people that disobey Him? He makes His Son to rise from both the good and the bad. That's what the Bible says. See that? That's in verse number 45. He makes His Son to rise on the evil and on the good. So it's not up to us. God's Son, God's rain falls on the evil and on the good. In this world in which we're living, there are many inequities. That's absolutely true. God gives life and God gives breath to every person. And every person thinks that their way is the right way. But God's way is the right way. God's truth is the right truth. Listen, did Christ do good to those people that curse Him? Even today, there's people today that are against God, absolutely, totally against God. What is God doing to them? Is God rubbing them out? Is God destroying them? Is God making their way difficult? No. Listen, there is sickness, there's death, there is all kinds of trouble come on everybody. I mean, that's the way it is. If you love God and you try to do what God wants you to do and you get sick, do you blame God for that? Is it God's fault? Or is it just something that comes along? Listen, everybody gets sick. Everybody has afflictions. Everybody has troubles. Everybody has problems. That's the way it is. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, we all face the same thing. But we that are saved ought to recognize that the afflictions that we have in this body do not last forever. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that one of these days, whenever I die, that all of the afflictions that this body has will be gone. That's where it is. When in verse 45, notice this. Christ, it says we ought to pray for those that despitefully use us. He doesn't mean here they ought to pray that God beat them up so they can't hurt us anymore. All right? Now, I personally find it very difficult to pray that God would deal very tenderly and very kindly to that person that has hurt me. Often I want Christ to really get on to them. But this is not being a Christian. It is not being like Christ. Christ did not hurt those that hurt him. He simply suffered their wrath and never struck out against them. And so should we never strike out against him at all. Christ doesn't say that we should stop hating our enemies if they stop hating us. He doesn't say that. If you think Christ is saying here that your enemies will stop hating you when you start loving them, you are sadly mistaken. Christ, listen, the honest truth is that Christ loved the people that even crucified him, nailed him on the cross. Understand that they didn't change their mind. Christ had something else on his mind, doing the will of his Father, and he died that sinners could be saved. If you are like me, however, you may be asking, well, what in the world do I get out of this deal? What do I get if I love those that hate me? What can Christ possibly give me that is greater and sweeter than seeing those dirty rats that hurt me finally get hurt by God himself? Look, Christ loves sinners, right? Christ saves those that previously hated and despised him. I want you to read this. First Corinthians chapter number 6. I want you to turn and read. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. I want you to read this. I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Isn't that the truth? These people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But don't stop reading in verse number 10. Be sure you read verse number 11. Because the Bible says here, "And such were some of you." What? What? I was always Mr. Goody Two Shoes, right? Well, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say everybody was like this, but the Bible says, "And such were some of you." So some of the people that Paul was writing to were this way. Understand that that's so. "But you're sanctified. But you're washed. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Notice that God loves sinners. And we ought to love sinners just like Christ did. Back in Matthew 5, verse number 46 and verse number 47, these verses plainly declare a a real truth. That's a real Christian truth. That really should help us. Matthew 5, verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? What Christ is saying here is very clearly and very plainly that the publicans love those that love them. The Pharisees love them that loved them only. You know, if we, the only people that we ever care about are people that are on our side. We don't have anything. We really don't have anything at all. The publicans are a group of people that gathered taxes. They were detested by the Jews. But other nations also detested the same people. Christ is saying here that we need to be the kind of people that Christ wants us to be. Now, take your Bibles and turn from the book of Matthew 5. Look in Matthew chapter number 11. What the Bible says here. Matthew 11 and verse number 19. Some people you can't satisfy. I mean, that's really what the text here is talking about. In Matthew 11, verse number 19. And because of our time, we'll read this one verse. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Christ was a true friend. He was a friend who gave his life for us, who are nothing but ordinary, everyday sinners. Sinners don't have to meet any kind of standard because we're as low as they can get. We can be saved if we're dependent totally upon Christ to save us. As long as we trust in anything we can do, that's not the right thing at all. We must always trust only in Christ, in Christ alone. The only way we can ever find any kind of peace in this world is to know that we are the servants of God and He is our master, and to submit ourselves to God and let Him take care of everything else. And He can take care of it. You think of the apostles, God took care of them. You think of the apostle Paul, God took care of them, of him. God always takes care of people that He loves. And I'm thankful that God loved me when I was lost, and God made the difference in me. Notice, we read Matthew 5, verse 46, verse 47. But we did not read verse number 48. Verse number 48 says this, Matthew 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect. The word perfect there means complete. It doesn't mean without sin. We can't ever be without sin. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we ought to be complete. Christ is wanting us to be complete, whole. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The only way anybody can be perfect is to accept the free gift of salvation offered them by Christ and to follow Him and Him alone. Christ died for our sins, not His sins. He willingly and freely gave His life for us. The fact that Christ died for us when we were sinners shows how much He loved us. That's the same message that Christ wants us to take to lost people as well. The only way any person can go to heaven when they die is to totally and completely trust in Christ, because He is the perfect one. We are not. He is. If you're lost today, we pray that you might come to Christ, because He can wash away your sins. The message that Christ gives to you is one of love, not of hate. The message that Christ gives to you is come unto me. I can give you life. Christ says, come unto me. I will give you life. He will do that. He wants us to come with nothing at all. And Christ can supply everything else for us. That's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 43 down through verse number 48. We'll continue in this message next time, the Lord willing. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer as we close this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that Your will has been done. Lord, that I spoke to You, I spoke to these people, Your truth. And Lord, I pray that You might touch hearts. Lord, that You might bring conviction of sin upon those that are lost, that they might see their need of Christ, and they might come to You, Lord, just as we came to You. Lord, I pray that others will also come to You in saving faith. Lord, I know You give faith. I know You give all the things that they need. Lord, just as You gave to us all things that we needed. Lord, I'm glad, Lord, that Your mercy is widespread. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that Your grace is very sufficient. Lord, that You are able to save even a thief on the cross who had done no good whatsoever in all of his life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that people might come to You. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that You even saved Mary, the mother of Christ. Lord, I thank You that You saved His brothers, His sisters. Lord, I thank You for it. Lord, I thank You that You saved good people and bad people. Lord, I pray, Lord, today that You might touch, that folks would come to You in saving faith. Just bless now and keep us from harm. Help us today to be what You want us to be. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.